Welcome to the MetPro Method Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal O'Keefe, and today I am joined by MetPro client Valerie Swanson, and we are going to be hearing all about Valerie's journey. Valerie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Well, we're so very excited to have you here. I'm really curious, what originally attracted you to MetPro to feel like, hey, this is a good solution for me?
What attracted me the most was that it wasn't just a weight loss program. So what really attracted me is that I'm in my late 40s now. And when I heard about MetPro, it was from another running podcast. And I wanted a program that can help me with body composition, you know, being in my 40s.
Right.
My body didn't relate to diets and things like that as much as like it used to. And I didn't want to do the whole 1,200 calorie thing because that, I've learned, is just dangerous. And MetPro really came at it from a health, longevity, and body composition and athletic performance perspective. And all of those things really spoke to me.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And now I understand you're a runner, but you're also vegan. Which came first in your life?
Yeah. So I've always wanted to be a runner. And so I was very active, but I hated gyms. So I've joined gyms here and there, but I'm not a gym goer. But I did join a gym for a while to use their treadmill. And I was not vegan at the time, but I went vegan in 2017. I was 42. And I realized that I had a lot more energy. I'm like, okay, I need to do something more. And the treadmill just wasn't cutting it. So I decided I would start doing more outside running. And everything I was listening to was talking about running. And so that's when I really got the bug and I became a quote unquote runner. So I started signing up for races. I was much more consistent. So I would say that vegan came first before I truly became a committed runner.
Okay. I'm curious, what moment allowed you to call yourself a runner? This is so personal to people. I'm really curious.
It is. It is. And I actually look at it different now. But I think when, from my perspective at the time, when I called myself a runner is when I was more consistent.
Okay.
So I actually had a strategy to my running. It wasn't just, I'm going to try this and I'm going to exhaust myself until I can't run anymore and then I'll stop. That to me wasn't so much of a runner. That was just like exercise. So when it became very intentional.
Okay. That's a great answer. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense to me. Now, for people listening who may not understand the difference between being a vegan or a vegetarian, sometimes veganism is very specifically no meat, no byproducts of animals at all. For you, I assume, does that mean you don't eat eggs? You don't eat anything that is made from an animal, cheese, that kind of thing, unless it's completely vegan. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes. Okay. And I usually use the term for myself, plant-based.
Okay.
Because vegan really denotes a more of a whole lifestyle. And although since going plant-based, and for me, plant-based is no animal products whatsoever, no eggs, dairy, meat, fish, nothing that has a mother or a face at one time. So I do follow that for my eating patterns. But vegan itself is oftentimes, it goes into the rest of the person's lifestyle. And although I incorporate that a lot more now since learning, I wouldn't call myself an ethical vegan. I'm more of a plant-based for health vegan.
Okay. No, that makes sense. I know there's some very distinct lines drawn there by people. When you started running with your diet being so plant-based, did you have any specific challenges that popped up as part of that?
As far as nutritional, no. What I did notice, though, when I first went plant-based is I wasn't very good at it. So I didn't know how to put foods together in a structured way. For example, I ate far too many carbs. As much as I love carbs, I had too many.
It's easy to do when it's plant-based.
Yes. It was all good, healthy food, but I actually gained weight when I first went plant-based because I was eating tons of sweet potatoes. And I bought into the messaging that I was hearing from a lot of plant-based doctors I was listening to, that you can eat as much as you want. on a plant-based diet and it was fine and that you wouldn't gain weight. This is all not true. And I wasn't adding all of the nuts and seeds and things like that that you hear about. I was doing things like sweet potatoes and, oh God, what, avocados were my one. I ate too many avocados at first. Everything in moderation.
That's right, because there's nothing inherently wrong or bad about sweet potatoes or avocados. They're both amazing foods. Yeah. And very good for you. But yeah, that your body can still, regardless of where you, what kind of food you're eating, they can still only accept so many carbs in a day without it saying, hey, we don't know what to do with this. We're just going to turn it into fat because that's all we got.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I wasn't well educated in that area at the time.
Which makes sense. It's trial and error. And there's not a lot. There's a lot out there, but there's not a lot of specific direction in the internet that says, here's what's really good for you to listen to. Here's a good, solid way. And also complicated by the fact everybody's a little bit different. So what works for you might not work for me and vice versa. At what point in this journey did MetPro enter your life then?
Oh, gosh, I don't remember exactly what the year was, but it was a couple of years ago. It was before my marathon. So I don't know, maybe 3-4 years ago, something like that.
Okay.
If that might be too long. So don't quote me on that.
Okay. Okay. That's
fair. I'm really bad with timeline.
But you had started running intentionally, but had not started doing marathons.
That is correct.
Okay. And so was one of your goals in originally coming to MetPro to learn how, what nutrition you needed to eat to support that training?
I knew it wasn't for the training specifically, but I knew that I needed to understand how to put the macros together for my body. I knew I had a healthy diet. I knew I wasn't adding a bunch of processed foods. I personally take out cooking oils. The only time I have oil is when it's in a food or if I go out to dinner, but I don't cook with oil. I knew I had a healthy diet, but I wasn't putting the pieces together for my body. And so that's why I went to MetPros. I needed a help putting those pieces together for me.
Sure. No, that makes sense. I'm curious, was this your first time working with a nutrition coach?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. Yes. So it was, I was a little nervous.
Oh, really? Nervous. So tell me about that. Yeah. What was nerve-wracking about that?
Oh, I think anytime you reach out for help for something that, especially something that's very personal, like your diet, it's a little nerve-wracking. Are they going, is that person going to be judgmental? Am I doing it right? And so that it's the unknown, I think.
Sure. And vulnerability there too. Yeah. The vulnerability that comes from the unknown. Was that experience what you expected?
What I expected was the support and help. And I did get that. And I actually found that the people that I was working with were so friendly. And I've just been very happy with everybody that I've worked with there. Very, very like helpful. It doesn't matter what kind of question that you ask, small, big, whatever. There's always someone willing to get the information for you and to help walk you through it.
Absolutely. No, that is very true. So when you've been doing MetPro, because I know you've been a longtime MetPro customer, you've come back, you've taken time without being at MetPro. It's been a repeat set situation for you. I'm curious, what things have you struggled with and have they evolved over time?
Yes, as I started off with MetPro and I lost about 16 pounds in my first go round with my coach. And then I switched to the app only, the basic. And I did that for quite a while. And I really maintained within a few pounds, give or take, while I was on that. And at that point, I went off on my own. And it was okay. It was okay. I maintained most of the time. But then I had an injury that set me back and off the running path for 9 months. So that has been quite the journey coming back. And I still maintained all throughout that time, even though I was sitting on my butt on crutches for a lot of it. But so I was able to maintain. And what was interesting is when I came back to activity and back to running, I started gaining weight again.
Oh,
it was interesting that while I was sitting on my butt, I was fine. So when I started getting more active, I guess my body started kicking in different systems. And so I decided recently it was time to come back, get back on track, put my macros back where they belong.
Okay, that's awesome. So now, what do you do for your day job?
I am multi tasking. So primarily my full-time job, I am the designated broker, the broker of record for a very large real estate firm that sells luxury real estate in Southern California.
Okay.
And so I oversee about 550 real estate agents in that job.
Wow.
And lots of high-end real estate. So it's a very demanding, stressful position. And to counteract that high stress, high pace, I am also a dual certified run coach with the ROCA and USCA. And then I also got my personal training certification. So I'm working on building that, on my personal time. And then I'm also a podcaster myself. So I just stay busy.
I don't even understand how you train for marathons and coach other people and are responsible for 500. How in the world are you balancing all of this? What is happening? Do you sleep?
Number one, I do attribute a lot of it to my diet.
Okay.
Because I am only putting positive good things into my diet, into my body. I wake up every morning and for breakfast, I have steamed kale with vinegar. I am powering my body from the moment I get up in the morning till I go to bed at night. So diet is a huge part of it. And I also get up really early.
Yeah, I guess
you have to get up really early.
Yeah, to do all that. Okay, I do have a question about breakfast. Now, when I hear kale and vinegar, that does not sound like the most tasty combination. Now, is that something you enjoy or you make yourself eat or both?
When I first started eating greens in the morning, I started off with spinach and some other things. And I wanted to stay away from the high oxalates in the spinach. So I went to kale and I mixed the kale with different colors. So I get a little variety. But I do enjoy it. I look forward to it. If I'm traveling and I don't have it in the morning, I miss it and I feel it. But the vinegar, by the way, is the key to that. So you have to get a very high quality balsamic vinegar, and I use a white Sicilian lemon balsamic vinegar. So it's not just your like plain old grocery store vinegar.
Not with the big white jug pouring it on.
No.
Okay, because that's what I was picturing. And I was like, that sounds awful.
Not at all. No, that would be awful. Yes.
Okay. Okay, I feel a little
better. This is good vinegar.
So now I'm just curious about the steaming of the kale. Do you just apply the vinegar or do you cook it in is the vinegar present when you're steaming? I've never heard of this before.
No, so I love vinegar. So vinegar is very good for the body in many ways and digestion and such. I just put it in a steamer basket and pot on the stove, just tear it off the stalks, wash it, toss it in there for, I don't know, I think I do it for 8 minutes for what I've got. And then when it's done, plop it in a bowl. And then you just pour 2 teaspoons of the white balsamic vinegar over it, like a dressing.
Okay.
And that's it.
Fascinating. Thank you for sharing.
I highly recommend it.
Thank you for sharing your breakfast recipe. I appreciate that. Yeah. Okay. And then I want to find out about your podcast. What is your podcast about?
Podcast is, can I say the name?
Absolutely.
Oh, fantastic. So it's called Running on Carbs Podcast. Because I run and it's on carbs and carbs are life. So you have to have them. And I talk about, I'm really focused on women who are similar to me, like in their 40s, runners, plant-based, either that are solidly plant-based or who are trying to refine that plant-based diet or that they are curious and they want to move toward it. So I keep things really simple on the podcast and very instructional in many ways, just like straightforward conversations about all things running, all things plant-based eating, how to incorporate the two, how to travel on a plant-based diet, things like that, because that's so important with our racing.
Boy, it sure is. And I got to say, as a person who lives in Missouri, it is, you can go to different cities and very much see how there are different levels of people and places who have embraced that lifestyle compared to places that haven't, or it's not nearly as many products or things available. So yeah, I would think that traveling especially would be very tricky if you're going to be all over the United States or different countries because there's,
yeah. So I have a motto, bring your own toaster. Always bring your own toaster.
That's great. So you really bring a toaster like on a plane? You can bring a toaster?
What? I've never traveled on the plane with a toaster, but I have this very tiny, small toaster. I could put it in a bag if I needed to. But usually I do road trips. I just like road trips.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. But I've been to some places that, like you're describing, that aren't very plant forward in diet and stuff. So I always make it my personal challenge to find good, healthy plant-based options when I travel and go to these places. I found some of my favorite restaurants in places that had no vegan restaurants whatsoever. And I find this place that has an obscure menu, and then there's a vegan option. And it's usually fantastic. Wow. So that's like my personal challenge when I go places.
Okay. That's great. That's awesome. Not that you need one more thing to do, but you could start a whole travel blog just on that.
Hey, for my travel, this is a good idea.
And then back to MetPro, has there been anything that has surprised you about using MetPro that you didn't expect that would be the case?
I didn't expect that I would need the accountability. I am extremely disciplined, and I put my own plans together for my races now that I am a run coach and I know how to do that. So I just described my lifestyle and my work. I'm very disciplined. I know how to get things done and control my schedule. Yeah. However, when it comes to diet, we all have our weaknesses.
Sure.
And I think that is one of my weaknesses. And so having that accountability that someone else is going to be there watching, and that I'm in a program, I'm in something that I have paid money for and that has a finite period of time, basically, so to speak, has really helped for me to stay on track. Plus, it's really hard if you want to eat. I want those carbs, or I want to have that dessert, but I realize I also have this goal. If I didn't have that accountability, why not just eat it? Who's it going to harm, right? It makes that goal seem less important. It's that mind trick that we play with ourselves. So having the accountability is really helpful for me.
No, that makes a lot of sense. What about your family or friends? Are they supportive of what you're doing? Do they even know what you're doing? Like, from a MetPro standpoint, do they know that process?
Some don't. It just depends on who I'm talking to. But my family is so used to me using my body as a petri dish. They're just like, what's Val doing this time? So they're very supportive in that, because they just know that's my personality.
Got it. What did we miss? What do you want to share with people that maybe we didn't cover today?
Oh, gosh. I think the one thing I want to tell other vegan runners or people that are curious about veganism or plant-based eating is that you always need to bring your own snacks, because you cannot rely on the race courses. You cannot rely on finding these things along the way if you're traveling. So I always have my own snacks with me, no matter what. I love when I go to an event or a meeting or something and they have an option for me to eat there, but I never rely on it. And I'm always very grateful and graceful when someone offers me something that is vegan and they say, hey, Valerie, we got this. It's vegan. It has no cheese, this and that. I'm like, oh, that's so wonderful. Thank you so much for thinking of me. I appreciate it sincerely, but I never expect it. I always bring my own snacks, my own food.
That's a great piece of advice. I may not be plant-based, but I take all of my things with me when I go to any kind of race course, because I know what works for my body, and I know that I have it then, and I don't have to worry, because I'm a super slow runner. I might be at the end when they don't have as much left, or they don't have good things to choose from that works for me. So I just bring it all.
Mm-hmm. It's good. It's a good way to plan and be as a runner in general. Absolutely.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much for your time today, Valerie. Before we let you go, why don't you let everyone know where they can find you and your podcast, and any questions that they might have, they can reach out.
Please do. I love having conversations about this. So I am on Instagram, which is running.on.carbs. And the podcast is simply Running on Carbs Podcast. It's on Apple and all of the other big platforms, YouTube, the whole bit. So if you want to see me talking to you, I'm sharing the podcast. You can go over to YouTube.
Perfect.
But all those places.
Thank you so much. Listeners, that's all for this week. You can find all the MetPro Method episodes anywhere you can get our podcast, or you can go to metpro.co/podcast. Please be sure to follow the show and rate and review. That lets other people know what they can expect from the show. You can also learn more about MetPro at metpro.co. I'm your host, Crystal O'Keefe, and I'll be back on the next episode. But until then, remember, consistency is key.